Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, F-L-O-T, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's always done without manipulation. It means we have no hidden agendas here. There's nothing for you to join. There's nothing that we're trying to sell you. We're not going to ask you for any money. The object of this show is to simply give you accurate information so that you can be able to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, then you have the freedom and the privacy to do so in the confines of your own home, automobile, wherever you may be listening. But I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. This is an interesting show. This is something you haven't heard before. Often when you hear a Christian show, it could be a talk show where people call in and give their opinion. And we're not interested in people's opinion. We're interested in what the Bible says. And I'm not the ultimate source, but I'm the one that has this show, and I'm going to do my best to give you insight into the Word of God. But I'm not a pastor. I'm simply an evangelist, and I'm one that would search out positive volition wherever it might be found. And if you have a hunger to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you have a hunger and a desire to understand God's plan for your life, then you're listening to the right show, because there are no gimmicks and games here. This show is not about the man, it's about the message. So if you'll sit back and listen for the next few minutes, you're going to find that you may hear some things you've heard before, but you're not going to hear them in a way you've ever heard them presented before. No brag, just facts. This is a show about truth. So buckle your seatbelt and listen, because we're studying evil, one of the most misunderstood subjects in our time today. Evil and what is evil? We've already done 3 radio shows on this subject, and I think this is the 4th show. And if you haven't heard the past and you'd like to hear them, all you have to do is write to me. The announcer will give you the address at the end of the show, or you can go to my website. It's simply bigrick.org. And by going to the website, you can send me an email, and I'll be glad to send you on an MP3 disc all of these radio shows we have done on evil so far. But today we're going to continue this study. And we have been studying evil, so let's go back and let's talk about it just for a minute. This may surprise you when I tell you that one of the most evil things in the world today is organized religion. But before we get into that, I want to show you how evil can be one of 2 things. Evil can be a deed in the Bible, or evil can be a system in the Bible. One or the two. And the Bible is very clear about this in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 20. This is what the Bible says. Woe to them. This is the standard King James Bible, so we have this archaic language. But woe unto them who call evil good, and who call good evil, who put darkness before light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. This verse indicates that is possible that there are people teaching the concept of evil and yet calling it good. And this is one of the things that I want to identify for you today. The Bible goes on to say in Isaiah 4, woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's what you call an unrealistic self-image. And this is exactly what evil will do. Evil will give you an unrealistic self-image, so that the deeds that you're doing, which are actually sinful, you will rationalize that deed into thinking that it's not sinful. And the system that you're involved in that is actually evil, you will justify and say that it's actually good. So a person that's involved in evil deeds and an evil system is the most dangerous person in the world, because he is committing a sin and justifying it. And then he will vilify anyone who mentions his sin, and he will say, no, we're the kind of people, we don't talk about each other, we just love each other, et cetera, yada, yada, yawn, yawn, yawn. And so evil as a deed or evil as a system, it can be one of the two. And so we're going to talk about that today. Listen very carefully because you're going to notice some things. You're going to see things. I'm going to try to paint a picture for you. You know, a teacher of the Word of God is like an artist. You start with a blank canvas and you try to fill in something. I'm going to try to paint a portrait for you today of what evil actually is. In Jeremiah 17:10, the Bible says that God tests the heart and he searches the conscience. Now, what do you think he's looking for? Well, God is looking at what you think. That's what God is looking at. God wants to know, what are you thinking? And he says in the Bible, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. God says his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. And one of the things that becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ entails is you renovating the way you think. That's why if you read, for example, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, you'll see where the Bible talks about changing the way you think and changing your mind in regards to arrogance and humility. It's an interesting passage. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we should, the Bible says, but to think in terms of humility as God assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his Word. Now, what is the standard of thinking that God assigns to us? Well, it's very simple. It's in Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to think like he thought. That did not include evil as a system, nor did it include evil as a deed or a sin. You see, all evil motivation starts in the soul. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Everyone that's listening to me has a soul, and I have one also. And in our soul, we have mentality. That's the ability to think, logic, and reason, and comprehend. And in our soul, we have a conscience, and that's self-consciousness. That's the ability to know who you are. But the conscience acts as a barrier. It's a protective barrier. Your parents program your conscience when you're young. Your pastor may program your conscience. There are things that impact your conscience when you're young. Some for the good and some for the bad. Even abuse can impact your conscience. But your conscience is formed by, in your formative years, by the influences and the circumstances that happen to you. This is your conscience. And if it's influenced by good things, then it can protect you. And you also have a mentality, you have a conscience, but the greatest thing you have, and this is great, this is in your soul. God gave you a decider. God gave you a chooser, or what we call your volition. And you do not have to be the person that your formative years tries to make you be. In other words, if you go through abuse, or if you go through suffering, or if you go through a disaster in your formative years, you do not have to let that harden your heart. You do not have to let that influence you the rest of your life. You have no excuse to say the reason that I'm a bad person or a criminal or such a loser in my life is my parents treated me bad. See, that's not an excuse. You see, evil says you're a victim of your environment. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're a victim of your decisions, and bad decisions limit future options. In fact, God gave everyone on this earth equal privilege and equal opportunity. We all have the privilege to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior. And we all have the opportunity to take God's Word and learn it and devour it and use it as a flat line in our soul. And even though we face the outside pressure of adversity, we never have to convert it to the inside pressure of stress. And we use the Word of God as a shield of faith to protect us. It's one of those problem-solving devices that we teach on this radio show. But evil comes from the motivation of the soul. Listen to a couple of verses that demonstrate this. In Matthew 6:23, if your eye is evil, then the entire body is full of darkness. And in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Did you hear that? Out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Now let's go back to Jeremiah 17:10. God tests the heart and searches the conscience. What's he looking for? He's looking for that negative volition in the believer's life especially that lines up with evil and begins to justify why it's okay to do certain things or why I'm this way. And you can't function like that. You will self-destruct if you try to justify your evil behavior. So evil as a deed is a sin. Evil as a system is in fact the genius of Satan, because it counterfeits the system of God, which is called grace. And many people are not able to tell the difference between the counterfeit and the real thing. And that's why organized religion is so dangerous. It's the counterfeit of the real thing, which is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. And so when evil influences the soul, the eye becomes evil, that's revenge motivation, the entire body is full of darkness, or mental attitude sins. So evil as a system has to be ingrained into our thinking process. And once it gets there, once that evil gets into your thinking process, it's almost impossible to ever get it out unless you have enough humility to admit you couldn't live up to the expectations of this religious organization, or you get fed up with the double standards of those that are in charge of the organization. You see their feet of clay and you say, well, wait a minute. You know, these people are telling me to do one thing, but look at what they're doing. So that's how evil the system can be. It can have a double standard. And it can have one standard for you and another standard for someone else. So evil as a system is very vicious, because when you don't live up to the standards, then the system will turn on you. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Now, this is not a mandate in the Bible not to have a pooch. That's not what this is talking about. Beware of dogs, and listen to the rest of it. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those are people that teach circumcision as a means of salvation. This is what the Bible refers to as the canine clergy. The canine clergy are the dogs that will turn on you and bite the hand that feeds them. And if you've ever been bitten by the canine clergy, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. The double standard, double talking clergy. So if you combine this evil system of religion with the evil deeds of a person who's committing sin involved in the system, then you got a serious problem. A very serious problem. And in the United States of America today, religion is just one of the many various types of evil that combines a system and a deed. There are others, but I'm not here to talk about those. I'm here to talk about the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I can help you see it by explaining this to you. In the book of 3 John, and there's only one chapter, so in verse 11 in the book of 3 John, we're warned not to be influenced by evil. Listen to what it says. This is what John wrote. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but instead follow that which is good. Now, what does he mean by that? Don't follow evil, but follow good. Well, in Christian circles, following evil is where someone distorts grace. If someone distorts grace and misrepresents the justice of God, then it's a problem. And this happens all the time. Now, how do people distort grace? Well, I'll give you an example. This is a perfect example. Under God's policy of grace, the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God and not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, that's grace, but now evil will come along and say, no, 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 no. You're not saved simply by believing in Jesus Christ. You must do something to be sure you're saved. So they will add faith in Christ plus baptism, faith in Christ plus church membership, faith in Christ plus giving up Pepsi Cola, faith in Christ plus never eating any more tacos. See how ridiculous it gets? But in organized religion, and I'm not just talking about in America, I'm talking about around the world, you will see that most organized religions have a system of works that entitle the member of that religion to go to heaven. And if they don't fulfill the works, then they can't have eternal life. And in Christianity, Jesus Christ fulfilled everything that God required when he laid his life down as the redemptive solution for our sin. And the only thing we can do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life. You've heard it from the beginning, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is how subtle evil is. It's a distortion of the grace of God and misrepresents the justice of God. Because evil will also tell you that the justice of God will not be harsh on you if you're not harsh on other people. So what it'll say to you is, well, I've been a good person. I'll take my chances when I get to the judgment seat of God. Maybe God will look favorably on me because I never really cheated anybody, and I did this and I did that and I did. Listen, Jesus said, I will tell you, in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And then he goes on to say what they're going to say. Did I not prophesy in thy name? In thy name did I not cast out devils? And in thy name did I not do many wonderful works? And he said, I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. You don't come to know God's anointed Son, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, by means of works. You come to know him by means of faith. Faith in what he did for you. And that's it. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Now, evil is a system. Once it gets into organized religion, and let's take America, for example. Organized religion in America is big business. For example, there are famous evangelists in the United States of America, pastors as well, men that have tremendous ministries. And I just noticed the other day where one is coming to my city. And there was an ad in the paper about come to hear him at the Civic Center, at the auditorium. The only thing that caught my eye that was interesting was the $15 charge for the ticket to get in. Wow. You mean to hear the Word of God, I got to give a guy 15 bucks, I got to buy a ticket? Is this a show or is this a pastor? Well, you figure it out. Because I can tell you, you got it free and you don't charge for it. But yet we have justified, under the concept of evil today, that we have to charge money for our services because we have to pay money to rent the building. If you can't afford to rent the building, don't hold the meeting. This is very interesting, isn't it? I mean, I even know, and I know this firsthand because I've had people ask me, what do you charge to come and speak for us? And I'm amazed when I hear that question, and my answer is nothing. I don't charge anything. You mean they say you would come and spend a whole week with us in our school and there's no charge? And I say, that's right, there is no charge. And they always ask, well, how do you pay for it? And my standard answer is what I learned years ago from my very own pastor, is that if God's in it, God will pay for it. And I don't have to run around with my hand out. Now, see, that's just something that I understand. But selling stuff to finance your ministry, charging appearance fees or admission fees, that is an indication of a system of evil that's been employed in organized religion. Those under the influence of evil always have a price, and so the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, there it is, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The many sorrows often is we didn't get enough money to pay for this deal. Well, sorry. You see, believers are often led astray and captivated and led into these evil deeds, into this evil system, even by their friends. Friends that will say, hey, come on, come on. This is a great person. We need to go hear him. Or they will say, you know, no one understands you but me and my group of friends. And come on over here and hang out with us. We won't judge you. We won't be judgmental. We won't interfere in your life. You can be your own person. You can do what you want to do. We're all friends. Here's the problem. That's an evil friend. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil friends corrupt good morals. You see, an evil friend has a double standard. You may think that friend's not going to judge you. You are dead wrong. That friend will judge you. And the minute that friend cannot manipulate you with the smoke screen of we will accept you as you are, that's a smoke screen. That's a lie. Because once you hook up with them, they'll immediately try to change you into believing what they believe. And they can corrupt good morals. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you get involved with evil friends, they may tell you, look, let's talk about morals for a minute, okay? Let's talk about sexual immorality. They may say, look, we love each other. What's wrong with it? And what's wrong with it is the Bible says it's a sin. But when you combine the system of evil, which is self-justification, with the sin of fornication, then you have a problem. So we are to avoid evil friends. Now, the interesting thing is that God protects the believer who stays filled with the Holy Spirit and if he maintains his momentum. So now let's go back just a minute. Listen to me. The Bible does tell us to be filled with the Spirit. There's no doubt about that in Ephesians 5:18. And there's no doubt about how we do it. We do it by using the rebound technique found in 1 John 1:9. If you've ever wondered how to be a Spirit-filled Christian, this is what happens. The minute you accept Christ as your Savior, you're filled with the Spirit, you're indwelled with the Spirit, you're sealed with the Spirit, you're regenerated by the Spirit, you're given a spiritual gift. Those are five things right there. When you sin, you quench the Spirit and you grieve the Spirit. And so you're out of fellowship with God because you've quenched and grieved the Spirit. But if you admit your sin, if you confess your sin to God, then immediately you're able to get back in fellowship with God according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's how you get back in fellowship. And that's how you walk in the Spirit. When you sin, you fall down. When you confess the sin, you get up. When you sin, you fall down. When you confess the sin, you get up. It's not some magical, mystical thing that evil will tell you. See, this is where evil gets into organized religion in regards to this doctrine. That if you don't speak in some unknown tongue, and if you don't have this great miracle that happens to you, that comes over you and makes you feel all warm and fuzzy and funny, then you really don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. That is not true. And that's the evil influence of a system that will lead you astray. In Proverbs 12:21, the Bible says, no evil happens to the righteous and the just. In Psalm 37:17, the Lord upholds the righteous. In Psalm 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. See, this is some promises from God to the mature believer. If you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, by using rebound, problem-solving device number one. And if you maintain your momentum, and that's doctrinal orientation, that's reaching that personal sense of destiny that we've talked about. If you maintain your momentum where you hear the Word of God by a qualified pastor on a consistent basis, and you keep to the best of your ability what you learn, then you're setting up momentum in your life. That's what it is. And when you are filled with the Spirit and when you have consistent momentum in your life, then the Bible says no evil happens to the righteous or the just. That's you. You're the person. When the Bible says no evil shall befall thee and no plague shall come near thee, this is a promise of a wall of fire. Now, I could stop right here and do a complete study on the wall of fire. The wall of fire is a phenomenal concept, and here's what it is. It's when you're in union with Christ, and you are, if you're saved, you are, quote, in Christ. You're in union with Christ. So when you're in that union, God gives the blessing and the protection in the devil's world. It's called divine protection, and it's given to you so you can fulfill your personal sense of destiny. God keeps you alive by logistical grace so that you can eventually attain your personal sense of destiny. What he brought you here to do. He protects you. He keeps you alive. You have a wall of fire around you. You've heard people say you have a guardian angel. That's actually a spirit that ministers to you, an angel that keeps a check on you. God is well aware that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God has imparted his Holy Spirit inside of you. He's there to empower you, to give you insight. God's angels watch over you. You know that. And so you have this wall of fire around you. And nothing is going to happen to you until you step out of that wall of fire by committing personal sin, getting involved in a system of evil, whatever it may be, and then you expose yourself and you become vulnerable to the attack of the devil. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 2:11-13, the wise man sees evil and avoids it. Because evil, this is an interesting thing, listen carefully, evil will prey on your emotion. You see, when you get under emotional revolt, then you get sucked into many different types of evil. For example, drug abuse. Drug users are evil. Not only is it a sin what they're doing, but it's a system of evil that they get involved in, and they constantly hold each other up and encourage each other to do it. And say, well, the police are wrong for making drugs illegal. After all, it's just recreational drug law. See, that's a crusader type of arrogance. Crusader arrogance is when someone gets on a crusade against the system and wants to straighten the system out. And it could be a Christian that gets into this crusader arrogance. But once these emotions, and I'll never forget my pastor teaching me this. He taught me this concept that once emotions begin to dominate a nation, there's a tremendous change in the culture in the nation. Now, see if you understand what I'm talking about here. This is what he taught me. When emotions dominate a nation, the nation undergoes a culture change. So where music and drama used to be great and honorable and even romantic, it goes to being perverse and sick, even imbecilic and irrational. Yes, absolutely. Because the whole nation begins to operate on emotions and not rational thinking. People don't go to the movies to think. They go to the movie to be entertained, to have a catharsis. So if you make a movie that's a thinking type movie, you know, some people may call them chick flicks, or, you know, those are not all that popular with certain parts of our establishment. People want to go to the movie to be entertained. They want to see some movie that has a lot of action, a lot of fighting, a lot of killing, yada, yada, yada. And that's fine, okay, fine. But I'm just telling you, the system is changing. And music has changed as well, so that much of it today is perverse and sick and imbecilic. But every believer has to choose between the grace policy of God and this evil policy of Satan that floats around in the world. Now, if you learn the Word of God, as I've implored you to do, talked about getting under a pastor, taking the Bible, learning it, applying it into your life, if you do that, the Bible says in Romans 12:21, you can, listen to quote what it says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. How can you overcome the influence of evil in your life? By renovating your thinking. Renovating your thinking. In Romans 12:20, the Bible speaks of our enemies, that's the verse right before the one I just gave you, and how we can compound the problem if we don't use forgiveness and impersonal love. So you have a person that hates you. If you react to that person, and you get bitter towards that person, and you get into revenge motivation, that's evil. Or you can do what the Bible says in Romans 12:21: be not overcome by evil. Don't go to what that person's doing to you, but overcome evil with good, and that's grace that person out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He who listens to me shall live in security and shall be at ease without fear of evil. Evil as a system. Well, that came from Satan. Evil is sin that comes from you. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.